You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball over the middle.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
What is going on, everybody? It is Dan. I was supposed to be here with Corey. Corey's having a small little computer issue, so that's fine. The chat wanted me here, so we're going to chat a little bit about where the Florida Gators coaching search is now. Probably not too long of an episode. Going solo. I think this is the second time ever I've gone solo. So please feel free to hop in the chat, ask any questions that you want. I will do the best that I can to answer them. So first off, valiant effort by the boys in orange and blue yesterday. Thought we had a victory secured, which would have been great for the Billy Gonzalez train. Obviously, did not go the Gators' way. Sorry, guys, I dropped my pen. Did not go the Gators' way. Some weird officiating on both sides of the ball on both teams. So we'll talk a little bit more about that with Jordan, Nick, and Corey tomorrow. So that's where we stand right now. Let's talk a little bit about the Florida Gators head coaching search. There is not a lot of new information that is going to be leaked out over the next probably month or so. You know, we've talked pretty extensively on this show that you're going to use a search firm for a variety of reasons. We talked about it at the end of Friday's show, so hopefully you guys are able to catch that. We talked a lot about turnkey and kind of what their role is and what the timelines might be. But I think ultimately you're just not going to hear a lot. A lot of the reason that you use a search firm is to really limit the amount of leaks that are out there, to make sure that information that needs to be behind closed doors is behind closed doors. And that's where a lot of the information is currently. So beware of people that are trying to share information today or last week. There's just not a lot of new information that is going to be shared. I can assure you that the process is moving along as processes like this do methodically. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes other than just interviewing, other than just conversations. There's a lot of work that's going to happen behind the scenes. So know that this kind of stuff is happening. But at the end of the day, you know, Florida is probably still at least a month, I would gather, if not longer, before some information does start to come out. Now, will that be a signed contract at the end of the month? Will it be verbal? Will it be something that you can kind of see and understand with kind of where Florida's at in their decision-making process of if they're waiting for somebody? And what does that look like on the back end, right? What does that mean if a coach is currently coaching somebody that's in the playoff? How long are you going to wait? Do you say, hey, this December, early December signing period's not that important. You do the best to bring the guys in. There's still going to be another signing period that those guys can sign in, or certainly after a coach is announced. There are some rumors, some well-founded rumors, some well-founded discussions. But right now Florida is in the same position. And right now it's very much lane or not lane, right? It's either Lane Kiffin or the rest of the folks that we've talked about pretty extensively on this show. So let's see kind of what chat is doing here today. Bear with me. This is a one-man show. Normally the guys can talk while I'm starting to look through here. So we appreciate, if you've not listened to JB's podcast, go check it out. It's part of the Stadium and Gale Network as well. It's called the If You Ain't a Gator podcast. He does a lot with Vernon Hargraves. He's got a great show, great eye for the game, and just overall a great show to listen to. So go check that out. What's up, Ace? All right. Eli, predictive programming, zero chance of Heupel. Yeah, I don't think that Josh Heupel is going to come to UF. I would be surprised. I saw the article that said that there might be a buyout imminent for Josh Heupel. I don't see it, right? Unless there is other things going on behind the scenes. You just have to wonder, you know, every school in the SEC, or at least like 12 of the schools in the SEC, every year think that they're a championship caliber program, Florida being one of them, right? There's only one championship. And if 12 of those teams are in your league in the SEC, you know, the Big Ten has, you know, 8, 9, 10 of them that feel the same way. You know, is this going to become a point in time where coaches just, you either go to the playoff or you're out the door and the leash is a lot shorter? I don't know, but I think you're kind of playing with fire if you add in yourself into this head coaching search right now. Obviously, Auburn moved off of Hugh Freeze today. So which direction does Auburn go in? I think for you, Eli Drinkwitz supporters and or haters, I think that that's an attractive spot for Eli Drinkwitz. So that might not be an issue that that you guys have to deal with much longer. I think that there's a lot of reasons why Eli and Auburn make a lot of sense. I think the head coach at Tulane is going to probably get looked at by a number of different schools as well. You know, but with, you know, Penn State, Florida, LSU, Auburn already there, and then you have kind of the host of other schools that are going to have some, probably some dominoes falling. Do you want to put yourself in that list? You know, if Tennessee potentially buying out Josh Heupel, I don't know. Could it be a situation maybe like a coach Calipari at Kentucky, right? You know, his time had kind of run up at Kentucky. He leaves and goes to Arkansas. You know, is Josh Heupel a guy that potentially looks to go somewhere else? And where would that somewhere else look like? Obviously, you know, played at Oklahoma. You know, does Oklahoma make a change with Brent Venables? Who knows, right? And so is Heupel waiting for that Oklahoma job where he went to college? Obviously, he coached at UCF as well as now Tennessee. You know, what does that future look like for Josh Heupel? You know, is a spot like LSU maybe a fit? I just don't know. And I don't know if that is being choreographed because of his agent or if people are just prognosticating. So I don't totally know where the Josh Heupel smoke is coming from, Lauren. Yeah, I mean, my thought is if Brett Venables does leave, I think it's a natural fit for him to go to Oklahoma. Obviously, he had a good, strong career there at Oklahoma. I think that it fits him. I think it fits his personality. And if it gets to a point where he feels like he hit the ceiling, you know, they were in the college football playoff last year and they're, what, 6-3 right now. The idea of kind of moving off of him now seems silly and premature and probably a little less – probably not a lot of foresight into what you might do unless there's other things going on. So I don't know there. Sneaky prediction: Brent Venables goes to FSU, goes back to the ACC, opens up at Oklahoma potentially. I don't know what they're going to do. You know, James Franklin is still a wild card to me and what he's going to do. I know that there's a lot of smoke around Virginia Tech. I don't think he's going to sign with Virginia Tech right now. But I do think that this is, as Harrison said, the coaching carousel this year is wild. And I don't know ultimately how many schools are going to be open, but I would not be surprised if, and I think I mentioned it on the show last week, that if like a quarter to a third of the Power Five job or Power Four jobs don't have some moving pieces between now and the probably the end of the year. So let's see, just going through here. Elko to UF. It'll be nice, man. He got hired the same year Billy Napier did at Duke. All right, what is your take, Dan, on coaching turnover so far? All justified, or some schools trying to get ahead in the new college football era? I think it's a little bit of both. I think, Desmond Howard mentioned it. Nick Saban's obviously talked a little bit about it on game day as well. There's such an expectation with the amount of money that you're asking normal fans and boosters to put in, the amount of money that's just simply flowing in. And then I think, going back to what I said earlier, there's a lot of schools that expect to win national championships or compete for national championships. Tennessee hasn't really competed in the last 25 years. And yet the expectation there is that they're going to put a championship football program together. Is 9 wins not enough? I mean, I'd like to think that it is, especially considering where Tennessee was before. But there's such a limited number of proven coaches where I feel like if you don't have that backup plan already picked out and already the decision made that person's coming on board, there's just a lot more of the devil you know is better than the devil that you don't know a lot. But I do think that there's going to be more coaching changes. We've seen, probably 7 or 8 pretty premier jobs that in any normal coaching cycle would probably be a top 3 job, kind of at the bottom of the list, right? Arkansas, for all intents and purposes, not a bad job. Obviously, you are competing against Oklahoma and Texas, or Texas schools for your players. It's a little bit of a different, it's a smaller market. There's a ton of money there. There's a ton of support. They have a pretty rich history there. So Arkansas would historically, be a top, 3 job in the country. I think if it were to open up in a normal cycle, or top 5, maybe. I don't even know where Arkansas is right now. Maybe 6, maybe 7. Who do you go after? Do you take a shot at maybe like an Eric Morris from North Texas? Do you take G.J. Keene from Texas State? Do you go and maybe try to find the next hotshot coordinator that's out there? I don't know. And that's what I think a lot of schools are going to be struggling with, that decision-making. I think that Florida is going to find itself in a very precarious situation if it does not work out with Lane Kiffin. I will say that. Vance, appreciate your super chats. Why do schools keep giving contracts with all this buyout money? Probably the same reason only 20% of marriages have prenups. I think because that's what the market is, unfortunately. And the market is largely decided by, Jimmy Sexton and CAA is huge. Trace Armstrong has a number of coaches as well. But I think that's just the market. And right now, if you want to coach, or if you want to poach a coach from a premier program, or somebody that knows that they have a lot of leverage, maybe isn't unhappy, in their job, they're going to ask for guarantees. Now, I don't know how Florida got fleeced to not have any sort of offset language in there. But I think that, these coaches still hold the upper hand. Jimmy Sexton still holds the upper hand. Jimmy Sexton is often competing against himself with multiple coaches in a search. And sometimes the athletic director is a Jimmy Sexton client. I think Governor Landry of LSU made some good points. It's not points that I would have made right now if my school was trying to hire a head coach and throwing the biggest super agent in his entire company and his entire reputation under the bus as I'm trying to have that negotiation or start that search. But he does make some good points. There is not a lot of parity in the college agent world. And as long as you hold that upper hand of my coach really doesn't have, they go through me and I'm going to do whatever I can as an agent to make sure that my client is making the most amount of money possible, because Jimmy Sexton and all of these agents work on a percentage of contract. If you get fired, that percentage of contract potentially goes away. You want to make sure that the most amount of money that your coach can get comes to you, because ipso facto, that means you've made more money. Let's see. Zero, appreciate the super chat. What wild card coaches should Florida consider besides the big names that have been put out there? That's a good question, and probably one that I would need to think about a little bit more. you start to digest a little bit about what Scott Strickland said for what he's looking for in a coach. And that's a proven winner, somebody that can help them get to a championship caliber level team and ultimately win championships. You know, Florida has that expectation. You know, they've won 3 national championships in the last 30 years. So there's that expectation that they compete for a national championship. What coaches out there that are coordinators that can be proven in that way? I don't know. I don't know if there are any that fit that necessary criteria. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, think that Brian Hartline is a head coaching candidate this offseason. And I've mentioned Brian Hartline. I know Corey and, you know, some other people may disagree, you know, but Brian Hartline is a guy that's been around championships. He's been around winning football programs. He's been around player development and a player personnel department under Mark Pantone that's done very well. Their NIL does very well. They've consistently been one of the top teams in the country the last, you know, few decades. And he's been around, you know, Ohio State for what, the better part of the last 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it might be. Played in the NFL, is Jack, good looking dude, speaks well, a lot of high energy. What if you went and got somebody like him to be your head coach? And then maybe you went to a G5 school and hired a head coach to be your offensive coordinator or your defensive coordinator, or a little bit of both. What do you think something like that might look like? Those are some things that I might consider. You know, Will Stein is a hot name at Oregon, only 36 years old though, right? 2.5 years calling plays at Oregon. Obviously they've been successful. Do you feel like he has enough? You know, those are all things that you're going to start to have conversations about. You know, Turnkey's going to do research that they're going to have conversations about. Those are all things that they're going to be looking into. So I don't know, you know, who the next hot coordinator is, right? You know, Kirby Smart made a lot of sense. He was a high level defensive coordinator at Alabama, went to Georgia. The position opened up. It made sense. It's obviously worked out really well for him. Dan Lanning, defensive coordinator under Kirby Smart, goes to Oregon. You think it might work, but again, he was a guy under Kirby Smart who is the architect of that defense. What if that didn't work out? But obviously it did for Dan Lanning, who said that he's not going anywhere. You know, Glenn Schumann, somebody in the chat just said Glenn Schumann. You know, that's a potential name. Again, you run the risk. That's what the problem is about hiring anybody, right? But if they've not shown that they know how to lead a football organization, or what does the support around that look like? I wouldn't be against hiring somebody like, you know, a Brian Hartline, a Glenn Schumann, a whoever, and then you go and whatever the opposite is, or you surround them with better people, that's not a bad thing. But I don't think that you can just go and say, hey, Brian Hartline, you're hired. You have the responsibility of then going to hire the offensive coordinator, the defense coordinator, and the rest of what that looks like. I just don't, that to me is not a proven winner about building a program. And that's the hard part about the position that Florida finds itself in, but not just Florida, all of these other schools. You know, is Auburn, is LSU, is Penn State going to be happy with somebody that's never led a program to at least moderate to big success? Those are things that we're about to find out in the next 6 weeks is going to be nuts. So I'll have zero. I'll try to get you some more names, man. I really will. Dubster 37. I appreciate you, Dan, for going solo, man. I appreciate you guys for hanging out. 877 of you, so far. Let's look in the chat here. What if we got Brian Hartline and then Coach O as an associate head coach to help instill that winning mentality? I mean, maybe, right? Maybe. I know he's eager to coach. Obviously won a national championship. Glenn Schumann paired with Will Stein, maybe. Is Will Stein going to leave his job at Florida or at Oregon to come to Florida for the same role? Probably not. Probably not. Do these schools all use Turnkey? How many companies are out there doing this work? Yes, there's a lot of schools that will use Turnkey. And when I mean a lot, you know, a handful, it's not cheap. You know, it's going to probably set Florida back somewhere between 300,000 to 500,000 for Turnkey, right? Corn Ferry is in the space. There's a number of others. There's some conflict of interest you know, rules in there as well. You know, so, you know, Turnkey is going to be selective about who they pick up, you know, as a client as well. But Turnkey's responsibility is to get this hire across the finish line, and that's what they're going to be doing. But yeah, there's a number of firms. I can think of, you know, at least five or six. There's probably, you know, more than that. And then there's also, you know, schools will bring on a consultant, maybe a general manager or somebody that's been a head coach before that will help lead their search. So there's a variety of different ways that you can go beyond just the Turnkey route. Florida went Turnkey, and there's been a lot of success there, you know, but the big thing about it, it's not just the search firm, right? The search firm is there to help you, right? They are there to help you research. They are help you there with data analysis. They're there for a lot of the administrative components of it. They're there to help set you up to be able to go for the kill shot, if you will. You still have to sell the job. You still have to convince the candidate or the coach to come over, you know, to the University of Florida, that this is the job for them. Turnkey can't, you know, obviously force anybody to take any job. So Turnkey's role is very administrative. It's very to protect leaks. It's there to keep arm's length distance about what information comes in that we have to disclose. And it's also there to say, hey, you know, we narrowed our focus in on one guy, gave one guy an offer. And that one guy that we wanted to give the offer to the whole time is the guy that accepted it. So that's what, yeah. So Swamp Life, kind of, hopefully it kind of answered your question. I talked a lot about this at the end of Friday's show. Probably the last 10 minutes or so was all about Turnkey. Yeah. They are dealing with agents. They are dealing with, they're doing all of the research. They're the research arm of what you're looking to do, right? Scott Strickland is an athletic director. His job isn't to just hire people. It's to run an athletic department. And based on a lot of your feedback, you probably don't want him to be the only voice in that room. Florida obviously did not use a search firm last time when they hired Billy Napier. But yeah, so they're doing research. They're doing getting all of the analytics. They're dealing with agent discussion. They're dealing with discussions that Florida wants answered out of candidates. What would your prospective staff look like? What would you need? These are some non-negotiables that we have at the University of Florida. Are you okay with that? What are your non-negotiables, right? Like, they're doing all of that stuff, you know, on the front end. You know, their job is to help identify the candidates that you want, be able to share more information about what's out there in the market. Who are some potential names that maybe you didn't consider? Or, hey, if I'm a coach and I want to clandestinely say that I'm open to making a move, right? Let's just say a Lincoln Riley was open to make a move. You know, he can have his people talk to Turnkey, right? And then that, all of that is behind the scenes. So all of those things happen because Turnkey exists as your intermediary there. But they're doing far more than just acting as an intermediary or acting as a preventative, you know, leaking source. They are there to help drive the process and identify any candidates that you want. All right, let's see. Just going through here, chat. Can you talk a little bit about how important it is to get the hire by December? I think that Florida will have their decision by the end of the month. The biggest thing is what kind of leash do you give that coach if they're coaching in the playoffs? You know, and that might be a non-negotiable. Hey, if I'm going to take this job, I have to coach my team through the playoffs. You know, Florida's not going to let you do that without, you know, a signed contract. And if that leaks out, you know, does the school that's there want them to coach? Probably, you know, Elaine Kiffin, you know, somebody like that, and a Drinkwitz, a Brent Key, whomever might be in the playoffs, probably let them. But I do think that Florida will have their coach by the end of the month. Let's see here. Yeah, Mark Pantone. I think there's a question about the GM. Mark Pantone was there when I was at UF. He was on staff in the recruiting office. A great guy, really cool to see what's happened in his career. Again, you know, he's been at Ohio State since Urban Meyer got hired there. So what is that, 2012? So the last 13 years. I don't know why Mark Pantonio would look to leave. You know, certainly his job is about as safe as any job in the country. I don't know why he would leave. So I don't expect Mark Pantone to come back here. And if I remember correctly, let me just look it up. think Mark Pantone just got his graduate degree from UF. I don't think he was an undergrad here. Maybe. Yeah. Oh, no, he did. He did both. Cardinal Mooney High School. Maybe he wants to come back. 14th year at Ohio State. Maybe he wants to come back and be closer. I have no idea. Florida right now currently has a general manager. Let's see. Ah, sounds like Turnkey would recommend Billy Napier maybe a few years ago. Billy Napier was one of the hotter names of the G5 coaches and had what, 3 years at Louisiana, multiple 10 win seasons, had put some guys in the NFL, obviously not sexy football over there. And obviously it didn't turn out at the University of Florida, but you know, I didn't hate the hire at the time. Didn't hate the tire at the time. Hold on 1 second, guys. Gotta take this phone call. Sorry, guys. No, good information. No, again, nothing new for Florida. But it was a phone call that I need to have. All right, would you expect Jacob LaFrance? No, and he's not really. He is a general manager in job title. He is not the the true general manager. That's Nick Polk. That is the true GM, and I don't think he will be back either. Let's get Rand Carth on for GM. I love Rand. I think Rand is in the NFL for a long time, so I think that's where he wants to stay. He was the general manager of the Tennessee Titans. He worked his butt off to get there, and I think that he's going to have a lot of opportunities to stay there. So all right, Zero, appreciate you for coming on as a member. We appreciate everybody for doing that. Again, guys, it's a one-man show. Sometimes these phone calls come in that I have to take, so I apologize again. Let's see, Dabo. You know, I'd be interested to hear what the chat's thoughts are. Obviously, you know, it seems imminent that Clemson and Dabo Swinney are going to part ways, and I think that's pretty evident yesterday. I saw him kind of yelling at players and, you know, the way he's been talking. I don't know if that is going to be a fit much longer for them. Dabo will go. I think any school would probably at least kick the tires, at least in some way. He's one of what, three coaches right now that has won a national championship. You can think he's weird. You have to kick the tires on Dabo Swinney. You have to. I know you guys don't like him, and I know maybe it's just not a fit, you know, in Clemson anymore, but you can't tell a coach that's won a national championship that you wouldn't at least have a discussion. Do I think that's the direction Florida will go in? I don't. I don't. Did Dabo ever embrace the portal? He started to. I think this year was the first time he's taken players. I think he took what, 4 or 5 players in the transfer portal this year. You know, is that a lesson that you learn? Maybe, and maybe you you get in a situation where you get fired or you get let go, and that changes your philosophy and the way that you do things. You know, I think that Billy Napier, when he gets his next opportunity to be a head coach, if that ever happens, you know, he'll have taken things that he learned and maybe changed the way that he does things in the future. So I don't know. Those are all things that, you know, it's hard to say that a coach may never change. And it's also very possible to say, hey, maybe, you know, he goes and takes a year off, or maybe Dabo is a fit in, you know, maybe a job like in Arkansas, right? Where they would love to have a coach like Dabo Swinney, right? Kind of fits the nature of, you know, the state a little bit more. You know, obviously, I think a lot of schools are going to kick the tires on Dabo Swinney. Just letting you know, he won't change it. Maybe he won't. Maybe he won't. You just never know. Any realistic NFL coaches UF's looking at? I have not heard of a single name that Florida is looking at that's in the pro ranks right now. What do you attribute the no decommits to? That's a great question. You know, LSU has kind of been lauded by the national media for not having any decommitments. And it's like, well, Florida has gone a week longer and hasn't had any. I think the type of person that's been recruited by Billy Napier and this staff is a little bit more focused on the big picture, right? You know, they were big on selling UF as a university, you know, the football program holistically, the Gatorade program, all of that. And none of that is going away. All of those things and all of those opportunities exist. And I think you could look at Florida and say that there's a lot of opportunity for me to come in and make an impact. I think that Florida will lose some players. It's naturally going to happen. Even, you know, if Florida was undefeated, players are going to come and players are going to go. But I think that they bought into the culture and what Florida is more than just one head coach. So I think that that's probably what it is. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a couple decommitments in the next few weeks. Maybe. Lauren is correct. What is Lauren? This is on Dabo Swinney. He'd have to have a solid GM and an NIL team. He hates the new college football model. Yeah, and I do think that you're going to start to see a lot more GM responsibility in terms of building these rosters than you have in the past. And I think that over the next 2 to 3 years, it's going to be a lot more GM focused, So then at that point, maybe being the best recruiter isn't the most important thing, right? Maybe it's just about being able to hire, build, motivate a staff, being able to innovate, all of those things. So maybe the world in which we, you know, have looked at college football head coaches is just going to change so drastically over the next few years that maybe you try to get ahead of that, right? Maybe Florida goes and hires a general manager, you know, that is a little bit more active in recruiting and in NIL. I think that Florida needs to make a change at the general manager position. I don't think that what they have right now is satisfactory for building a championship program. What makes you say a hire will be made by the end of the month? I've heard a few things. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know if Dallas Wilson's done at UF. I know Dallas Wilson really likes the University of Florida. Brent Key actually has a really good OC, but we'll get the tech job. Yeah, a lot of people said, hey, Brent Key lost yesterday, so he's off the list, man. I'm telling you, there's a reason why I keep mentioning him. Losing at NC State with Georgia Tech. I mean, guys, they're 8-1 as a program. You can't take that away from them. I don't know if the offense coordinator is the next coach. There's thoughts, there's rumors, but I don't know if that's 100% for certain either. Yep, same question there. Let's see what else. What other questions we got? Yeah, I mean, again, there's not a lot of new information that's come out in the last 10 days, and that's what I try to tell you guys, I'm going to continue to tell people on Twitter all the time, there's just not going to be a lot of news that comes out in the next couple of weeks. You might hear some coaches get extensions, but you're not going to hear really anything. And that's by design. So just wait for the end of the season. Washington's coach, Jed Fish, is a UF alum. Might be a name. You know, it's being thrown out by Turnkey. Might be a name. Might be a name. Might be. Let's see. Somebody said Billy Napier at Tulane. I mean, maybe. Kind of makes sense. I know Tulane would be upset. Let's see. What other questions we got? Yeah, I don't smile for Brent Key as in I think that he's number one. I don't even know if he's number two. I just know that he is on the list. And so as much as we want to say, hey, we don't want him or he's not there, or, oh, they lost, he's dropped, I'm just letting you guys know that he is on the list. And it is a name to get to be watching. I think Dabo would kill it. I mean, this is the thing, right? If you would have scrolled up 5 minutes ago, everybody said no go on Dabo. There's no surefire coach, right? I mean, I think that Lane Kiffin is your most surefire. You know, he comes with some faults, although some of those faults seem to have gotten a lot better over the last, you know, couple of years. And really this year, his team is humming and looks really good. But everybody's going to have, you know, a really mixed bag. And I just don't want you guys to set yourself up for failure too, that if it's not Lane Kiffin, and that could be not Lane Kiffin because of nothing that Florida did wrong. It could be solely his choice. I don't think it's because Ole Miss is going to offer more money. I think that Florida offers a better situation, but there could be reasons that he doesn't come to Florida. Now, I'm not saying that that's what I've heard, and I think that Florida feels confident that they can secure Lane Kiffin, but I just want to tell you that there could be changes that are things that Florida did 100% of the way correctly and right, and may not be him showing up to the University of Florida. Lane Riley, I mean, I think Lincoln Riley would do well here. Florida passed on Lincoln Riley a couple years ago. James Franklin, could he do it? Maybe. Who knows? Who knows? All right, guys, I'm going to head out of here. Good 37 minutes with you guys. I appreciate you guys for joining. Thanks so much. Join us tomorrow, Stadium and Gale, and we will see you guys then. See ya.